We're going to begin with Luke chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. For our time together today, I want us to think and reflect on the theme, Joseph, the man whom God chose. Joseph, the man whom God chose. You know, what can we learn about God, ourselves, and faith from the life of Joseph? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here gathered today. Lord, help us to leave here knowing more about you, and not just more about you, but knowing you more. Help us to know ourselves better, and help us to look more like you. During this time, God, we pray that you would continue to make yourself known in this place, that you would manifest yourself. Shrink me, hide me behind your cross, dear God, and let us hear all of you and see all of you. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, that I might preach and teach your word to your glory. And I pray that you would anoint the people that they might hear and receive and do your word. We thank you so much for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The last several Sundays, we have acknowledged that faith is a journey of thought, of belief, of experience. And often faith is a dynamic journey. I mean, twists, turns, dips, rolls, climbs, high points, low points, middle of the road stretches, dark nights, bright days. It might be this dynamic aspect of faith that brings with the faith journey a range and multiple degrees of emotion. Emotion is interesting. In my experience and from reading scripture, I've learned that emotion can be elusive, hard to nail down. It can be predictable, telling, fleeting, ingrained, palatable, unmanageable at times, even authentic. As I read through scripture and look at my own life, past, present, and future, I wonder, what did these ancient biblical communities feel as they tried to walk with God, or as they tried not to walk with God? What were their emotions? What are my emotions as I walk with God? What emotions are you in this room experiencing? What are the peoples around us experiencing in their emotion? For today's time together, we consider Joseph engaged with Mary, the mother of Jesus. We focused the last 2 weeks on Mary, but here in this text enters Joseph. Responding to the Roman census is the first time the author Luke brings Joseph more actively into the narrative. The author of another gospel, Matthew, gives us an earlier glimpse of Joseph. So in Matthew, in the first chapter, and in the 18th verse through the 25th verse, we find these words. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Looking again at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever wondered what type of a man Joseph was, we know a few things from Scripture. Joseph had a plan with Mary. Joseph is a man with a plan. Joseph had a plan with Mary. They were betrothed. Betrothed to promise by one's truth. So men and women were betrothed when they were engaged to be married. And this usually took place a year or more before marriage. And from the time of betrothal, the woman was registered. The woman was registered as the lawful wife of the man to whom she was betrothed. So the term also is figuratively employed of the spiritual connection between God and his people. Right now we're betrothed with God. So Joseph planned to marry Mary. Joseph planned to marry Mary. Joseph learned that Mary was with child and it wasn't his child. Mary was pregnant before Joseph and Mary had sex. This reality, Mary's pregnancy and the child not being Joseph's child, posed a problem for Joseph. The scripture says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why would Joseph make moves to end the relationship? This is the interactive part. Just a guess, or if you know. Why would Joseph make moves to end the relationship? Why might any of you make moves to end the relationship? Yes. He thought she cheated. Okay. Anybody else want to? You like that one? Okay. Maybe he thought she cheated. Joseph not only had a plan, but Joseph was a man with a vision for his life and his family. You see, Joseph was an upright man, that verse 19 tells us. He had standards, but he also had compassion. And so that's a hard balance to strike. You know, perhaps Joseph really loved Mary. Perhaps Joseph really respected Mary. Joseph could have easily exposed Mary and kept the upper hand. They lived in a male-preferred society. If you recall, later in the life of Jesus, some people brought to Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery. And notably, they didn't bring the man who by necessity, the people must have also caught in the act of adultery. Joseph could have exposed Mary and he could have kept up his dignity. He could have kept up his perception of himself. But this is what I appreciate about Joseph. While Joseph was not in favor of the change in plans, he was still for Mary. not willing to expose her nor humiliate her, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Compassion as well as standards. And if we think about Christians today and the perception that the world has of Christians, they had the perception that there are standards, but not much compassion. And sometimes Christians, we have the perception of the world, some people have the perception of the world, that there's a lot of compassion, but not a lot of standard. But Joseph was somebody who had both. He had compassion as well as standard. And I would say that also reflects Jesus, who had both compassion and standard. To the woman, he said, "I don't condemn you." That's compassion. And then he also said, "Go and sin no more." That's a standard. Betrothal was, in Jewish law, valid marriage. In giving up Mary, therefore, Joseph had to take legal steps to effect the separation. Joseph, it seemed to me, had all around good intentions in his planning and his vision for himself and his family, yet God had other plans. In giving Mary up, therefore, Joseph had to take the legal steps. So the question for you is, what plans might God have for your life? Joseph had this plan of getting married, having his family. They didn't quite go that way. But what plans might God have for your life? In the Gospel of Luke, we see Joseph after his recommitment to Mary. That's the opening text that we read. We see Joseph after his recommitment to Mary. Joseph will forever go down in history as the man who kept Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." Caesar Augustus was the first Roman, was the first of several Roman emperors. And he commanded the vast Roman Empire to register themselves. It's thought for subsequent taxing. And verse 3 says, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Now, the registration following Jewish custom took place at a person's ancestral home. The Roman method would usually have a person registered where they currently live. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, and staying put would have been much more convenient. But Joseph, in Jewish custom, is called to go to Bethlehem, the birthplace of his ancestor, King David. Has your family custom ever called on you to do something that was a stretch for you? Inconvenient, to say the least. When I think about getting married across cultures, when I think about the vision that families have for where you might go to school and what you might major in and how you might come of age and how you might go through having certain processes, has your family custom ever called on you to do something that was a stretch for you? Inconvenient, perhaps. The timing was not good for Mary and Joseph to travel. Mary was pregnant. Joseph had to choose, do I follow the crowd or do I do my own thing going against the grain? What would you choose? What do you choose when custom and secular law interface? Why might Joseph choose to make this journey? What did it mean for Caesar? What did it mean for Joseph's extended family? What did it mean for Joseph? If Joseph doesn't go to Bethlehem, what does it mean? What does it convey? I don't know from Scripture whether Joseph wrestled with this decision. However, we know from Scripture Joseph's actions. In verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, "Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Joseph takes this 90-mile journey, and he takes it with his wife. Now, I think about a 90-mile journey. I think about getting in my car and driving somewhere. But they're not doing this. They're walking. They're riding on animals. They're in a carriage. He takes this 90-mile journey, and it takes, on average, 3 days. And it says, "Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." Can you imagine the great responsibility that Joseph must have been feeling? Joseph makes this trip and is responsible for Mary and his unborn child. Joseph had a sense of God. Scripture says that Joseph was just, or he was upright according to the Jewish law. Joseph didn't say to the angel, God's messenger, hey, angels don't exist. Joseph didn't say, God, who's God? No, Joseph had a sense of God, perhaps even a relationship with God. But did Joseph know how much of a sense God had for Joseph? And to what extent God had a purpose and a plan for Joseph's life and his family? How shocked would you be to know that God thinks about you, your future, and even has God plans for you, sees divine purpose in you? Not just living a godly life like someone lives a pleasant life, but with specificity, there is a purpose with you that God has ordained, that God initiates. It's one thing to go to God and say, here I am, choose me. It's a whole different thing for God to come to you and say, you, I've chosen you. Joseph has agreed to make this 90-mile one-way trip to Bethlehem and to bring his wife, Mary, who is with child of the Holy Spirit. What's interesting to me is that there are probably many ways, possibly, that Joseph was reminded that his marriage, his family, his life, his ancestry, all these things that he might consider his are not fully his, that is God's too, even foremost. When was the moment that you realized that what you thought was yours is not yours alone, even perhaps not yours at all? I remember this song, these lyrics that says, my life is not my own. To you I belong, I give myself to you. Paul said it this way, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So looking at chapter 2 again, verse 6, it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph makes this trip with Mary, who was with child. With child, she was with promise. She was with purpose. She was carrying God's plan, not Mary and Joseph's plan. She was carrying divine and human potential. Joseph and Mary reached Bethlehem, traveled across 90 miles of terrain, 3 days by God's grace and the commitment and the fortitude of both Mary and Joseph. They make it. They arrive. And while they were there in Bethlehem, something happened. Perhaps it was expected that Mary would deliver. But did Joseph and Mary expect to not find, to not receive proper accommodations for a pregnant woman, let alone childbirth? That's what happened. Thinking again of Joseph, what happens when a decision you make, a circumstance you enter, progresses in a different direction than the direction you desire? With Joseph, the unfortunate happens. No proper room for lodging. I remember my wife, Leah Rochelle, she was pregnant with Hannah. Invisibly pregnant, like pregnant with Hannah. And I might not get the details right of this story. I kind of blocked it out of my mind. But I was driving and the car broke down. And I'm carrying my pregnant wife in the car and we're not close to home. And you know, car breaks down. You may know, you may not know, but you call a tow truck and they come get you, but they don't bring like a spare car. You got to ride, you got to get in the tow truck and you got to ride next to the person and you have to go to the destination and you pray that they're safe and you pray that you're safe. And I remember just during that time, just thinking, Orlando, you only have a few things to do. And you mess it up, buddy, you mess it up. And why do we have a truck that broke down? Because I didn't have the money to buy a truck that wouldn't break down. That's why we had a truck that broke down. And if that wasn't worse, this wasn't the first time that this happened, but this was something that happened before. I wanted a Corvette. I had money to buy a new Corvette. I bought an old Corvette. We bought it on Tuesday. On Thursday, I convinced her for us to make a 4-hour drive to Pennsylvania to a car show. So we get in this car. We're driving down the highway.
The car starts to overheat. We try to drive back at night, and I realize that the inside dashboards have no lights. Something about old Corvettes, just old cars, is that a bulb can blow or the wiring can be tricky, and you can't see the gauges on the dash. And I need to monitor the speed. I need to monitor the temperature, but I can't see anything. And if that wasn't worse, it started to rain. And, you know, fancy Corvette has T-top lights that you can, or not lights, but hoods that you can remove. So it started to rain. Everything's going well. The rain starts coming in through the car, dripping on my wife. You know, good thing she's a little skinny. She was scooting over, but the rain was coming down. But that's what happened. Things did not go as planned, but I set up the scenario. And the reality is, in life, you can set up a scenario and things do not go as planned. And one of the things I'm grateful for, fellas, I'll just remind you, make sure you find a gracious woman. A gracious woman who doesn't necessarily kick you when you're down. They recognize you're already feeling bad. You know, they might just look at you like, mm-hmm. You know, or the next time you have an idea, they might say, mm-hmm. Remember that car trip? Mm-hmm. You know, but somebody who's gracious in the moment. And I can imagine Mary being gracious with Joseph because it's not ideal. The reason she's going is because he is of this lineage. She's connected to him and everything that's associated with him. She didn't set up the scenario, but because of who he is, she is now a part of this scenario. And so they are traveling in this place and things are not working out. Know this, when timing and circumstance collide, God steps out. That's the beautiful thing about this story. Verse 6 or verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the days were completed for her to be delivered. When it's time, then it's time. For some things, it might be futile trying to hold up or alter the timing. God made a way. And his way aligned with the prophecy for how things were said and prophesied that they would happen. Three things to keep in mind. This is the closing. One, gentlemen, please know that half the battle is seeing the situation through. Half the battle is seeing the situation through. Don't leave prematurely out of disappointment because your provision wasn't all that you desired. I'm sure Joseph wasn't feeling great that he couldn't find in his own hometown a place for him, his wife, to be and also to give birth. But please know that you're still needed. You are needed. Mary needed him. Their unborn child needed him. Number two, firstborn, birth is Mary's beginning, not her conclusion. As well, birth is Joseph's beginning, not his conclusion. Joseph and Mary continue to extend their family after Jesus. And number three, this experience tested. It tried Joseph, but it didn't break Joseph. It's a risky business to try someone. In my family, they would talk about trying somebody's patience. And that meant when somebody came at the end of their patience, they're going to respond in a way out of their impatience and not out of their patience. And so the recommendation was you don't try somebody's patience, especially parents' patience. You don't try their patience. And while I advise against trying another person's patience, I think that trying one's patience is in some ways exactly what God did for Joseph. He tried Joseph's patience. And when I say this is what God did for Joseph, I don't mean that this is what God did to Joseph. I mean for Joseph. Joseph is a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better follower of God because of this experience. If before this moment Joseph wondered what kind of man he was, now Joseph knows what kind of man he is. And Mary knows too. We all here today know what kind of man Joseph is. Joseph, through this journey of faith in God, has learned quite a bit about himself and has also had a chance through action to demonstrate his character
You and your journey, I pray, right now are learning quite a bit about yourself and are able through action to demonstrate who you are. And note, when we consider Joseph's life stage upon our meeting him in Matthew's text and Luke's text, where he's betrothed to Mary, Joseph lived life with such care and resolve and thoughtfulness. With Mary, Joseph was a husband before he officially was a husband. Before they consummated their marriage, Joseph had a plan with Mary. Joseph had a vision for marriage and family. Joseph, when his plan went sideways, sought to cancel his plans privately with care in a way that honored Mary. Sisters, when the brother says he's ready to be married, let the brother start being a husband to a certain degree before it's official. Don't give him the benefits of marriage. Right? You can think about the benefits of marriage. Don't give him the benefits of marriage, whatever it might be, but let him begin to exercise life and leadership under the weight of marriage. It's hard to be responsible all at once at the day of I do when you haven't been responsible even once. Questions to answer for yourself. Where do you need to see a situation through? And just thinking your life, perhaps right now, you know, where do you need to see a situation through? And two more questions and I'll sit down. What is a beginning for you that you are counting as an ending? Yes, Joseph's plans ended in terms of what he thought his life would be. But really, it was just the beginning of him walking out God's plans more openly. What is a beginning for you that you are counting as an ending? And lastly, in what areas of your life has God's grace been sufficient such that while you have been tested and tried, you have not been destroyed? You are making it. And once you identify this area, just know that's a place for praise. And that's a place for testimony and thanksgiving because God is keeping you.